and out of your graves my people, and I will bring you back. And you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come. And verse 14, this is wonderful. I will put my, capital S, spirit within you, and you will come to life. This is what God wants for you today. He wants you to have an exciting life. He brought Jesus into your world to give you an abundant life, and that's what he desires. Praise
exactly.
God.
Precisely.
Praise the Lord.
You know, some of our friends that are listening to this message are thinking about their vision and what they can do with their vision. Sometimes our vision dies, but it can be resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2.
Yeah, that's one of your favorites.
It is. And here's what it said. Now, here the Lord is speaking now mm-hmm. to Habakkuk. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on the tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal. It will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay.
Mm.
I love that.
Praise
I love that.
God.
And it goes on to say in the next verse, but the righteous will live by his faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we need to have faith in God that when we speak for him, we speak carrying on in his image and likeness. And what God does, we should be doing here on the earth. When he speaks with his mouth and he delivers important things, he starts things.
Mm-hmm.
He creates things with his mouth. I believe that's one reason he said, I want you to record it on the tablet that you might be focused.
Yes.
That you could be focused. And you know, when we write things down, we start getting focused. We get organized. We target. I think that's very important.
Do you know, one tool of the enemy is to keep us off focus, to keep us...
scrambled.
Always, yes. Always... confused, always frustrated over situations, never focusing in with a single eye. And so many times in the Word, Darren, God's men that he called have a single eye. And Jesus himself, he knew he was going to Jerusalem. I mean, his face was set like flint, it says in some verses. Jesus knew his goal. He knew what he was sent to do. And a lot of these men in the Old Testament knew what they were sent to do.
You know, and many times in Scripture it says, don't go to the right, don't go to the left,
right.
Stay on the track.
That's right.
And I believe when we record the vision, it's written down for us, we'll stay on the track in a better way. And as we reread that, God begins to supernaturally energize that vision with the breath of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he may give it to us, and at first we think it's just a plan. We have it accepted in the first place almost mentally.
Mm-hmm.
But as we meditate on that, and we put Scripture on that, we begin to breathe the breath of God over that,
mm.
we begin to speak the blood of Jesus over that, it becomes a supernatural vision. I mean, we realize how supernatural that vision really is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then yeah. God begins to bring it about. And I think of a Scripture that Jesus said in Mark 11:24, all things for which you pray and ask, believe you have received them, they should be granted unto you. Part of the way that happens is the Holy Spirit breathing his breath across there. As you pray in the Spirit, as you pray in the name of Jesus, as you lift up the blood of Jesus, that becomes faith substance. And God uses that faith substance to create those things for you.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
I think it's exciting. I mean, this
Praise
is so
Lord.
Real, Barbara. This is not just some theological study in a seminary or, you know, in a monastery someplace. This is for us on the street today.
So if somebody has been kind of, like you say, doing the loop, and they haven't gotten off center, and they're getting frustrated, they're getting delusionary over their dream and over the calling that God has on their heart, what would you suggest them to do through this Habakkuk? Write down?
Well, first of all, I believe if they'd pray in the name of Jesus, and I'd suggest they take communion, but sit down and draw themselves close to the Lord. Make sure there is no sin separating them from the Lord. In fact, I would pray, Lord, I've got a serious situation here. I'm praying, is there anything between me and you?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if there is, that would be called sin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I need to go to 1 John 1:9 and repent of that. Say, God, I ask your forgiveness for this. I ask you to take it out and away from my life, because I want to talk to you here, and I don't want to give the enemy any open doorway here to distort what you're telling me. Because I need to get confirmation as I move here, because this is very, very, very serious. And you know, if you take the word to the wall, and very few people do, Barbara,
mm-hmm.
they say, well, I think I'd rather take a pill. I think I'd rather go and have therapy. I think I'd rather take a vacation.
We take the route of least resistance. Yeah. Yes, we do.
So we get away from the pain. We say, well, one way to kill the pain is I just won't think about this anymore. And if there's a way to escape that, the flesh says, you know, why don't you jump in the car and drive to Albuquerque? Or why don't you take a plane and if you can afford it, and I think I'll spend some time on the French coast. Mm-hmm. I just want to get out of here.
Yeah.
I mean, this has been in my face too long. I think what we need to do is get serious with God, discipline the inner man of the heart so that the visions and dreams can become reality for us, and then God can bring them into the natural world as we allow him to build up our spirit strong in the word to put the faith substance in our hearts. Then he has something to work with. Mm, and you know, when God. We do that, we're going to win.
Yes, yes. And that's the whole point. We might not win all the little battles and skirmishes, but we're going to win the war. It's a promise. And
Amen.
The more we do this word, Darren, like you were saying, we're going to win more skirmishes too. We're going to win more little battles.
You know, first of all, you need to know yourself and the spirit world so well that you can get confirmation in the spirit. And that means that you know that you know that you know. Now, you can't see anything yet. You can't feel anything. You don't have anything in the natural to go on. All you have is this confirmation in your heart. You know, if you hang on to that and breathe the breath of God over that, one day you will have what you've been looking for all along, and that's called manifestation. It will come forth in the natural world. Now, we're giving you a process here. You ought to listen to this message over and over and over until you bury these ways of God in your heart. And when you do, your life will change from being just natural humdrum mm-hmm. to being a supernatural lifestyle. Mm-hmm. This is exciting, folks. Hang on.
Praise God.
Now, when you get this in your heart, you're going to be able to do what it talks about here in the book of Zechariah. Read that to us, Barb.
Oh, here are an example of two anointed. They took the vision and they took the message, and they are really playing it out before the nation of Israel. And we see here in Zechariah 3 and 4 that Joshua the high priest stood before the angel of the Lord, and Satan's always going to be there accusing you. He's the accuser of the brethren, it says in Revelation. Here was Satan standing at the right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" And it goes on to explain the situation with Joshua and with Zerubbabel. Now, Zerubbabel was the governor and Joshua was the priest at the time. They were going through some horrendous times. And Satan was really pouring on the attack. And this is also a look into the future, Darren, I believe. In chapter 4 of Zechariah, "The angel who was speaking with me returned and roused me as a man who's wakened from his sleep. And he said to me, 'What do you see?' And I said, 'I see, behold, a lampstand, all of gold, and its bowl on the top, and it's got seven lamps, and out of the spouts belonging to each of the lamps on the top of it are two olive trees on the right side.'" Now here it's describing the lamp of the Lord and the two olive trees. Now, where do we get olive? Olive oil. We get it from olive trees. And what does olive oil represent in the Old Testament?
Talks
Holy
about
Spirit.
The anointing.
That's right, the anointing, Holy Spirit. And so Zechariah is asking all these questions. Well, what does this mean? And the angel who was speaking said, "Do you not know what these are? No, my Lord." And in verse 6, we're getting some real heavy-duty, meaty stuff here. "Then he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel.'" He's the governor right now. "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And what are you, O great mountain?" There was a huge mountain, a huge hindrance, a huge obstacle to Israel right then, Darren. And here he is saying, "O great mountain, you are nothing at all. Prophesy to this mountain, and it will be removed." And he prophesied, "Grace, grace." And the mountain, the obstacle, the hindrance to his life was removed. And that's the same way with you today. If you have an obstacle in your life, you can speak grace, grace over that, and it will be removed out of your life by the anointing of Holy Spirit. What a great example.
You know, another meaning for the word grace is an ability, an enablement, mm-hmm. as well as, along with that, favor.
Mm, praise God.
And it says in 2 Corinthians 9:8, "God is able to make all favor or all enablement abound unto you, that always having all sufficiency in everything." Well, Here we need sufficiency here to see that mountain knocked down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you begin to understand